welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig, and today is going to be a continuation of a series that I have, Calming a Racing Mind. So this will be part three, and I'm going to talk to you about how important it is to experiment on helping, you know, reduce that speed that your brain's going, how to be able to calm your mind and being open to experimentation. Now, I know that whenever I say experimentation, your mind may go to a lot of different things. And I know that due to my background in substance abuse counseling, that's what my mind goes to, is substance abuse when I think of experimentation. However, experimentation is one of those words where I feel like I'm making a bad rap, but it's actually wonderful. Being experimental is being curious, being willing to try something different. And if we're wanting to calm a mind that is racing, that's going to be something that's important. See, our brain usually gets trained for our mind to race. It usually gets trained in such a manner. So because of that, we want to be experimental and how to address this differently and find out what works for us. So this continuation of this series and talking about experimentation is something I'm really excited about. It's something I'm a really big fan of. And it's something that I practice in my own life, managing my own mental health and making sure that I am mentally well all the time by trying to practice different things. And in order to do this, I'll actually share with you just a little bit about my own journey with this experimenting with my own mental health. So this has started many, many years ago, and I'm one of those people that used to have a really hard time getting to sleep. And I'd have a really hard time getting to sleep because whenever I would lay down, all of a sudden, all these thoughts, all these fears, all these anxieties, or all these kind of unsolved problems of the day would visit me right before I would go to sleep. And I know that I'm not the only one that this happens to. So I had to try to be a little bit experimental to see what I could do to possibly help this. And I experimented with quite a few different things, like exercising before I went to bed to try to tire myself out. That didn't work for me. I tried to distract myself at night by trying to read before I went to bed or looking at my phone or anything like that. One of these days we'll actually have like a sleep hygiene episode and you'll understand why those types of things don't usually work for people. But I was experimenting. And eventually my experimentation actually leads me to something very different. And that is what became a simple thing for me. I have to be able to set aside some time during my day to be able to just think about things before I go to bed. And if I set aside time for me personally, just to think about events of the day or think about things I'm worried about, or things I'm afraid of, or whatever it may be, if I set aside that time, then whenever I go to bed, my mind does not race, and I can actually fall asleep. And there's other things I tweak with, right? I tweaked with maybe it was the time that I went to bed. Maybe it was how I went to bed. Maybe it was because I was talking to people before I went to bed. So maybe I'd have to do the silent treatment, right? But what I'm saying is eventually I found something that worked for me because I was willing to experiment on different things. And the same thing occurred. I've always been really interested in sleep. So if any of you are very familiar with the type of dreams you can have where you can actually try to manipulate and control them, those types of dreams where you are in full control of what happens, those are really awesome dreams. And they are called lucid dreams, just in case you ever get asked that on a trivia. So whenever you lucid dream, you're actually starting to wake up and your brain is woken up enough, but you're still kind of have one foot in that dream area. So you have some capability of controlling your dreams. And in college, I experimented with this, where I might have like a soft alarm to kind of like wake me up to try to kind of edge me out of a sleep. I'd figure out, okay, when would my dream state be? And I was successful with this after experimenting for a very long time about kind of knowing about how long I had to be asleep to start, the dreaming. What time did I have to go to bed to increase the chances that, you know, I would have dreams throughout the night or anything like that? Or learning that, like, hey, I couldn't, you know, drink a ton of alcohol because I don't dream on those nights or anything like that. And being experimental allows us to try to manipulate different things that are going on with us and our internal world. All right. So continuing along with this experimentation train, so I do sleep very well now, much to my wife's jealous nature. She sees me fall asleep right away because I don't sit there awake with my mind running and churning or anything like that. Now, however, if I wake up at, like, you know, 5:30 or 6:30 in the morning, all that stuff could come rushing back. So now I'm in the process of experimenting with something a little bit different, where I may sit in bed, and whenever those thoughts come rushing back, I may set aside 5-10 minutes, experiment with just allowing those thoughts to come and seeing if that helps. And if that doesn't help, then I experiment with, hey, maybe I shouldn't focus on those thoughts. I'm just going to focus on the weight of the covers on me. I'm going to focus on the temperature of the room. I'm going to focus on my breathing, right? I had to be experimental to try to figure out how I can help myself fall back asleep. And usually for me, that latter part is the what I do is I have to sit there and just, like, focus on the weight of the covers and my breathing, and not allow those thoughts to kind of really overcome me. And that's what works for me. But here's the thing. What works for me might not work for you. In fact, it probably won't work for you because you're a different person. Your brain is wired differently than mine. That's why this experimentation part is so important. All right. Whenever I work with people that have anxiety or depression, I talk about this experimentation part all the time. If I'm suffering from depression, I may not have motivation to do anything, then I have to experiment on a smaller scale, right? If I have a hard time getting up, then I have to experiment with, hey, if my bed is so warm and comfortable, how does it feel? Does my bed feel as warm and comfortable if I throw my covers off in the morning? I throw them on the ground so I can't get them unless I get back up to get them. Like, does that make it a little bit easier for me to get up? Does that make it a little bit easier for me not to stay in bed all day? Right? You might have to start smaller than that. As simple as, hey, if I drink a bunch of water and whenever I wake up, I got to pee, does that help me get out of bed so that I don't stay in bed all day whenever I'm feeling really depressed? Right? You have to experiment a little bit and try to be as creative as you can to help you in your mental state. Because there isn't going to be, right? You want to increase the opportunities that you have that you could be exposed to things that'll help. And that's within in any given situation, right? If I'm having marital problems with my wife and I already know that, hey, we've had the same conversation, this same argument 100 times, then I have to think about maybe there's a different way that I should have this conversation with her. Maybe I should approach it differently. Maybe I should try to talk about it differently, and things might happen a different way, right? I have to be experimental. And in my mind, that's one of the most important things that you could do for your mental health is try to be experimental. So kind of going back on my own journey and even talking about something that is a challenge for most of us, right? Let's say that, like, exercising and eating healthy every day. So I know for me personally, on the exercising front, I've experimented with times of the day, with different types of exercise. There was a time where I could only watch TV while I was on an exercise bike, and or I could only listen to my favorite podcast while I was on an exercise bike or exercising in some manner. And no matter what I experimented with, I learned a little bit something about me. And what I had done over time is I found out that, like, hey, working out at night doesn't work for me. Working out in the afternoon doesn't work for me. Working out in the morning, though, that's something that helps. That's something that I can do more often than not. And that's just what works personally for me. So I work out in the morning. Okay, what is the next obstacle that ends up happening? All right, how long do I have? All right, so then I got to experiment with, all right, am I more likely to work out with a half hour workout, an hour workout, a 10 minute workout? Well, whatever that may be. And for me, I end up finding out that the time actually makes a huge difference. Because if I'm telling myself that, hey, I'm going to work out an hour, then I'm going to, like, for me, that just seems like it's so much time that I'm going to be using that I don't actually end up working out at all. So I have to look for something a little bit different. We experimented, my wife and I actually, we experimented with going to a gym. Like, does that help us exercise more often? And it did for a while, but whenever it got cold, I didn't want to go to the gym because it was cold in the morning. Right. So, and it may sound like a stupid reason, but we learned that if we had a gym downstairs in our home, then we would be more likely to go every day. It was easier for us. We didn't have the car ride. We didn't have a monthly subscription. So that's what we ended up doing because we were able to do that. But you see what I mean by the experimentation, right? We experimented with going to a gym for several months to see if that increased our likelihood of going to the gym. And for us, it didn't. So that whenever we had our gym at home, it increased our chances of going to the gym. And it became something that was a lot easier for us to do. Right. So over time, we experimented and now I exercise most every day because I found what works for me through experimenting. Right. And the same thing goes with food, too. I know that there are certain days during the week where it's going to be harder for me to eat healthy. And those days are normally going to be days that I'm actually going into the office to work. And I'm going in early. The earlier I go into the office, the more likely I am to not eat so well that day. But the later I go into the office, the more likely I am to eat healthy that day, or in my definition of healthy, for me. And so what I learned is that I have to, on those days where I'm going to be going in early, I have to try to prep my meal the night before, or else I'm just not going to do it in the morning. I'm not going to have a healthy meal ready, and I'm not going to consume a healthy meal that day. So I learn about me, and by learning about me, then I can experiment with new ways of helping myself accomplish my goals. And that's important because I could tell you exactly what I do in order to accomplish all the things that I might get done in a day. And to be honest, that wouldn't do you very much good. It maybe gives you a couple ideas of what to try, but being experimental is the thing that's actually going to get you there. Being actually curious about that. The same challenge I had with whenever I was noticing that I was feeling more anxious, and I'd be like, all right, what's going on with my level of anxiety? So then I would sit and I would try to trace back my anxiety, just like my therapist training teaches me to do, and find out what the root is. And there's times where I'm like, I just really don't have a lot of things to be worried about. Like, this is just a very blessed or fortunate time in my life, or I'm not really struggling with a ton of things. And through experimentation of, is it my sleep schedule? Is it something I'm eating? I find out that I'm drinking too much coffee, and that if I dial back on the coffee, if I have one less cup of coffee, I'm not as anxious during the day. Or even something I found out just recently, that I switched, my wife switched brands of coffee in our never-ending desire to experiment with different stuff. She switched brands of coffee, and now my stomach doesn't gurgle throughout the day, which I thought was due to hunger, but it was actually due to the coffee. And that's just such a funny and interesting thing that through us experimenting, that's something that we discovered, is that it was actually the brand of coffee that was causing that. So by identifying these different things that we're wanting to change about ourselves, and we could start with anything, right? So let's say that I'm going to think about me right now to kind of give you an example. Here in my life right now, I am trying to decide what I am going to do next as far as my business goes. What I'm going to do next as far as like, am I going to, go down path A, B, or C? And whenever I think about, am I going to go down path A, B, or C? And I'm sitting here trying to think of, okay, what do I need to do? I start to recognize that I have been doing a whole bunch of things to avoid choosing one of these paths. And it's been causing me to think about it a lot more, a lot more. It's been one of those things where whenever I'd wake up in the middle of the night at 5:30, those are one of the things I'd think about is those three paths, right? And what I want to do as far as this therapy business, not as far as this podcast, that this podcast is something I'm going to keep doing because I enjoy doing it. People find it helpful. But whenever I'm choosing one of these three paths, I discover something, that the reason that these thoughts are bubbling up are because I'm not giving them enough time. So I want to be experimental with it. So guess what I'm doing today? Right after I get done with this podcast, I have scheduled aside time for me just to sit and think. No electronics, no phone, no anything. Just for me to sit and think about that. And that's going to be the way I'm experiment with it, to see if that helps me determine a path. But really, if that helps the number of thoughts that I have or the anxiety that I have around making these choices, if that makes it go down, that's the way I'm going to experiment with it. And guess what? If that doesn't work, the next thing that I'm going to try is starting to pursue all three paths at once and see if I start on the step one, which one of these feels like it's the best. If I do that and it doesn't work, then what I'm going to do is, what I might experiment with is talking to different people about what they think and about their opinions on these paths I should take. And you know what? If that doesn't seem to settle this, one of the things that I may end up doing is I may end up journaling about it. Or the things that I may end up doing is, I may put all three in a hat and just pick one out. And then I'm going to start pursuing this one and see what happens. Or if, that doesn't seem to work, or if it's like, hey, I want to try something else, then I may set aside more time to think about it, or I may set aside time, like I said, to look at all three of them, or I may have to sit down and be like, maybe I just don't have enough information and I need to sit down and dedicate time to, gathering more information about all three of these options, right? The thing about being experimental is being willing to try different things to help resolve whatever is going on within you. We can all tell ourselves and we can all tell other people that we're consistently working on things, but if we're not actually setting aside time of doing things in a different way than we've been doing them, then we're actually lying. We're not actually working on things, right? We have to be curious about the things that are going on with us in order to create some type of change. And a lot of times whenever people go to therapy, that's actually what they're doing, is they are creating a place where they can think about and they can be experimental, whether or not it's talking about things that they're not used to or looking at things from a different perspective or getting ideas on different things that they should try or be aware of. And this experimental aspect of us is the thing that helps us calm our racing mind. Let's think about this. I have a dog right now that barks her head off at any other person or dog that is walking by outside. Okay, that really bothers me. I get really angry at my dog. And thankfully, I'm not one of those people that like kick the dog or anything like that. But I do get really angry about it. And me being angry is just not pleasant for me. I don't like it. I think most people don't like being angry. So it'd be a good idea for me to be experimental with it. So what I've tried so far, I tried putting the chair in front of the window so the dog can't jump on the windows and bark. Dog ends up jumping on the chairs. It doesn't actually help. The dog still barks. The dog will stand on the other side of the chair and bark. Okay. I'll try to put blinds over the window so the dog doesn't see. That works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't because the dog can still hear that there is someone that's walking out there or anything like that. Okay, so I had to experiment with something else. Okay, I'm going to stand there whenever the dog's barking and tell the dog no bark. Okay, that works pretty good. But I can't stand there all the time whenever the dog is barking. Okay, well, maybe this time I'm going to try to give her a treat every time she doesn't bark. Okay, that works a little bit better. But now she's coming to me every time that someone walks by because she's wanting extra food. And I can't do that because then she's going to gain weight and then my vet's going to tell me that I'm feeding her too much, right? So there are ways that we have to experiment with these different things, and that's still a problem that I haven't quite landed on a solution with. But I tell you right now, I have different things that I am still working on experimenting with. Whether or not that is just, hey, maybe these dogs just need more exercise and they need to walk around more, or they need to be out back more to run around in the yard. Or maybe, you know, we need to actually, you know, sit there with them for a day. And anytime that a dog comes by and furiously reward them anytime that they don't bark or anything like that, right? There are still things on the table for us to experiment with. You know, this could be used with, you know, your son or your daughter whenever you're raising them, or your child whenever you're raising them. I have a son right now. He is 2 as of this recording. And we rock him to sleep, and he stays in his own room and everything. We've been very fortunate with that. But I tell you what, now he's old enough to tell us whenever he wants to go lay in the crib. And 90% of the time, he lies about it. He is not actually ready. So we'll be rocking, and he'll be like, "Crib, please." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And we'll start picking him up to go take him over to the crib. Then he will just start screaming his head off. It's like, oh, okay, well, okay, you didn't want the crib, so then we'll go and lay down, you know, we'll go back and sit down and rock him. And then, you know, a minute later, he'll do the same thing, and then we will repeat that pattern. So I was experimental, and last night, whenever he said that, "Hey, crib, please," he had to say "crib, please" 5 different times over the course of 15 minutes before I actually went and took him. And then whenever I took him, he didn't actually want to go. So, okay, so let's shoot for 7, 8 times this time. Or like whenever he would kind of get up to tell me crib, I'd be like, "Let's just rock a little longer." And he'd be like, "Okay." And he'd rock a little bit longer. And then eventually, that was fine. He's like, "Okay, crib, please." And it worked. So there was something about it that worked. And I'm narrowing down and working on this experimentation. But the next thing that, you know, one of the other things that we experiment with is, hey, you only rock for a certain amount of time, then you get put in the crib, right? That'd be a way of experimenting with it. Or, hey, we got to adjust the time that you're going to bed, because, you know, if you go to bed, you know, if we start going to bed a half hour earlier, then you don't fight as much over it, or things seem to be a little bit easier, or a half hour later, things seem to be a little better. We're still in that experimental phase with something right now. You can use this experimentation in a relationship, right? I remember going through school, and like I said, I work with a lot of couples, and one of the most common things that comes up with the couple is like either finances or sex. But couples talk with me about sex all the time. And one of the things is like someone wants to have more sex and someone maybe doesn't, or maybe it's not even on someone's radar or anything like that. I remember going through school and hearing this from one of my teachers, and there's a certain amount of truth with it, as this was an issue with a couple that she was working with. And so they did start to experiment with it. Like, okay, well, does sex happen more often whenever you guys get to bed on time? No, it doesn't. Does sex happen more often whenever, you know, husband's helping out with, you know, XYZ chores? Okay, that does increase it a little bit. Does sex happen a little more whenever, you know, you're doing XYZ with the kids, or kids go to bed a certain time? Oh yeah, that seems to help a little bit. So by the husband helping a little more with chores and then getting the kids to bed on, you know, just a little bit earlier, hey, all of a sudden sex is happening a little more. Okay, let's experiment a little more with this. Like, maybe choosing certain days that sex will occur on a regular basis, maybe that'll help. Okay, try that out. Nope, doesn't work. You know, that's just not their jam. Some couples, that may be it, right? Maybe instead we need to try, I just need to talk, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes just about us before that would be something that would be okay. Or I just need to spend more time with you, right? Experimenting with different things in your relationship to maybe help you get what you want. That's really important, and experimenting is going to get you a lot further than complaining to the other person about something that you're not getting in the relationship. Being able to come at so much of this, these things from an experimental mindset will also help you feel like you're at least narrowing down on the answer. And it'll help you feel like at least you're creating some type of movement. Even if it feels like it's just a guess and a check, right? For anxiety, right? If I'm someone that's an anxious person, me setting aside time to just think about some of those things that are making me anxious may actually help me in the long run. I may be anxious really in those moments, but then it's like, all right, I kind of burned that candle and, you know, now everything's a little better. But if I do that, some other people may experiment with that and doing that, and it makes their anxiety a ton worse. That is really good information to have. Then we kind of know that next time I experiment, it's not going to have anything to do with me sitting down and thinking about this anxiety more. Or next time that I experiment with something, it is going to have me to do with sitting down and just thinking about it a little more. Maybe it has to do with me talking with somebody, or I have to be doing something while I'm thinking about it, or like I said, whatever that may be for you. Always be in that experimental mindset. Something that I've noticed about my own personal anxiety is I'm a big podcast and audiobook listener, and I almost always have a podcast or an audiobook played in the background whenever I'm doing like chores or just miscellaneous tasks or anything like that. And it's something that's really enjoyable for me. But guess what? Whenever I am walking around and I am used to someone talking to me through my audiobook or through a podcast app, it becomes really crowded in my mind. And if I do that on a consistent basis, my anxiety spikes. And whenever my anxiety starts to go up, one of the things I've learned to experiment with first, for me personally, is, okay, I got to do a day or two where there's nothing. There's no podcast, there's no audiobook, there's no radio or anything like that. There's no playing music or anything like that. It's just me sitting. And that's what personally works for me. And what I'm saying is even just expanding your experimentation to things like that to see how they help. If you're someone that's depressed, experimenting with your sleep schedule, seeing how that helps. Like maybe I'm sleeping too much, or maybe I'm sleeping too little, or, you know, for depression, it can go either way. Those are good places to start. Like if I'm experiencing anxiety, like does talking about it help, or does talking about it make it go, you know, make it go down? Those are good places to start experimenting with stuff. If you have a racing mind, you have to experiment with different things that will help. I know that if I have a really, like my mind is going to race if I'm in a messy room. I know that through experimentation. Because you know what I've done before? I've sat in a room that's been messy, and then after sitting in there for 10 or 15 minutes, I moved to a room that was clean, and I discovered that my mind actually slows down for me personally whenever I'm in a clean room. So now I know that whenever my mind is racing a lot, one of the things that I have to do is I have to pick up, I have to clean up, and then that actually already helps the situation even before I do anything else. Now, that may not actually fix the problem outright. It may not fix the racing mind, but if it makes it easier for me to do something else, or it makes it easier for me to experiment with something else, right? It's kind of like, you know, whenever people talk about finding renewable energy, they talk about that, like, hey, it's not going to just be one thing. It's not just going to be solar. It's not just going to be wind. It's not just going to be geothermal or whatever it is. It's going to be pieces of different things that's actually going to, you know, be the thing that's going to help us be on complete renewable energy. And it's like that with calming a racing mind too. It may not be one thing that takes care of it. You may have to experiment to find a couple different things that fill that pie up to make it all better. And being experimental is going to be the thing that's going to take you through to that next side. So I know I've hit you with that a lot today and just talking about it. And I hope that even talking about my own personal experience with just experimenting with my own mental health and well-being, I hope that maybe that stimulates some ideas for you and maybe helpful for you. Because really, just doing the same thing over and over and over again, you probably already know that that's not working for you, right? You don't need someone like me to tell you that. But maybe someone like me giving you permission to try a bunch of different things is something that you do need, right? Because you may just be going through life thinking that if I just figure out the one thing that's going to make it all better, then that's what I'll do, the one medication, the one technique, the one coping skill that I need to do. And once I do that, then this will be fine. And unfortunately, if you go through thinking that that's going to be the case, it's very likely that you're not going to be successful, because it's probably going to take multiple things, and it's going to take you experimenting a little bit and being curious about yourself. And that's a wonderful thing. And if you have enough energy, you can also be curious about other people you care about and love, like friends, family, spouses, kids. And you can encourage them to be experimental too in different areas and help them to be able to recognize that is something that is required if we want to live a life where we can be mentally well. We live in a world right now while I'm recording this, and this is going to be something that's timeless. We live in a world right now that has all kinds of challenges. And we as human beings, are going to have to be adaptable. In order to be adaptable, we have to experiment with things that work for us. Something that works for you whenever you're 20 may not work for you whenever you're 40. That's okay. Have an open mind and be adaptable. Be willing to experiment, and you will be able to get through. So I've enjoyed talking about this, and I don't know if you could tell or not, this is something that is really near and dear to my heart, being experimental with helping to improve your mental health. If you listen to this episode and you find that it's helpful, I would recommend that you tell other people about it. That would be something I really appreciate, since the purpose of this podcast is to help people with their mental health. Or maybe you may not know anyone that may benefit from this podcast, but maybe you still found it very useful. Then one of the things I might ask, if you feel comfortable, is to give this podcast a 5-star rating, so that other people that are looking for mental health podcasts to help improve their mental health may be able to find us a little bit easier. So again, thank you for joining us for this episode. And until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.